Hey, Husky fans, welcome back to Fourth and Inches, a Husky podcast. My name is Trevor Mueller, and with me is Coach V. And Husky fans woke up to a shocking development from Pete Thamel that athletic director Troy Dannon will be leaving Washington after a cup of coffee in Seattle and moving back to Nebraska. It's shocking in the sense that you don't expect somebody in that position to be there for such a short amount of time. But starting to kind of look at some of the kind of the issues around him and his personal life and some of the things, the interactions with donors, former players and media members, maybe there was more to this than maybe somebody on the outside like us. Coach, what is your overall take on the departure?
You know, when I first heard the news this morning, I just went back into my bag of, man, you know what? You have to look at the evidence. All right. And as the day went on, it kind of made sense. I heard from some people who kind of, you know, texted me privately and like, dude, this was a bad fit from the start.
Yeah.
I don't know what Softy talked about on a show today. I didn't listen to him, but it was just basically like, you know, friction with staffers, just a hostile work environment in some ways. Disagreed with a lot of people about the direction of the program. His family obviously wasn't in Seattle yet, and that's kind of weird after 6 months, like they hadn't moved here. Just seems like it's something that he thought he wanted and maybe realized that maybe they didn't really want to move to Seattle. Having said that, even if he was the wrong guy, we hired that wrong guy.
Yep.
After Jen Cohen, who you love her or not, I know how Leah feels about Jen Cohen. Shout out to Leah. But
hope you're having a good vacation.
She was the UW lifer and then took the USC job out of nowhere. Like it seemed like, wait, what? Okay. We had a football coach who was there for 2 years and decided after a national championship run that it was time to go to Bama. Obviously, the, you know, depending on how old you are, I'm thinking back to the days when Don James was forced out and how Upper Campus kind of sabotaged the athletic department from the inside. And I just, over the years, I've seen us kind of make the wrong call when it really mattered most. And lately, we've been on such a hot streak of like things going right for us. Until the New Year's, until the national championship game. And then it seemed like, okay, what's going on here? So Isaiah Stanback made that video, obviously, a few months back, and I agreed with everything he said, even the stuff he didn't say and kind of implied. I've been thinking this stuff for like 30-something years. Like, it just seems like we could be all in and everybody could be on the same page and we could run through the Ducks and run through USC and anybody else. But we're always kind of putting the shackles on ourselves with mistakes, personnel, you name it. We just suffered through the Mike Hopkins era. I don't know. I think there's fault on both sides. But, you know, Troy, if you didn't want to be here, I wish you well. The next person can't be here for a year or less.
Yeah, you bring up a few really good points. I think the first one has to be that how did this situation get to where it was, where this guy was just hired a half a year ago? How was the due diligence not done to see that this wasn't going to be a stylistic fit? And, you know, Coach, you've coached for different regimes and different people in different places, and turnover can be, when there's a change, there's always going to be some friction. But it sounds like from kind of, you talked about Softy, he's turned off some donors. He's there was some issues with people that have been in the athletic department for a long time. Of course, that's going to happen when there's change. I'm not really worried so much, and I don't know how bad it was, but when a new leader, when new leadership comes in, sometimes some people that are entrenched can be rubbed the wrong way. But one thing you can't do is you can't rub donors the wrong way and former players. And then he told the story about how Dannon was so upset with Softy and Dick when they went in for their morning show when Jed Fish was hired, and he wanted him out of there because they said they didn't, you know, they were, it was the hire of Jed Fish. There were some question marks about it around, you know, how long he was going to be there. And he was upset and he wanted him out of the studio. And basically Safdie was like, if you do that, whatever storyline you're trying to get us to say, it's going to be worse if you do this. So they decided not to. So it seemed a little thin-skinned in that situation. And I think overly bearing on trying to instill his regime into Washington when there's definitely issues, and Stand Back and Spencer Hawes have talked about it, but it just didn't seem like a good cultural fit, and that has to lay at the feet of Anne-Marie Causse and the search firm that ended up choosing Troy Dannon. That being said, it seems like Causse, since the move to the Big Ten, has been actively engaged in athletics, and but this was a miss. This was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the visibility of our president this year. I like the fact that she's supporting it in athletics. But, you know, some people I saw online today, people were blaming her for this whole mess. And, you know, we've had several presidents over my lifetime at the University of Washington, you know, different people on the Board of Regents. But there's sort of a prevailing, I want to be careful how I say this. There's just, since I was a young kid, heard about the quote unquote Washington way. And there are a lot of people who have been around longer than I have, who have influence at the university, who are very protective of the fact that University of Washington is the world-renowned research university and sports is cool too. But we don't necessarily want to be known for just that. And, you know, the average fan, the average person in the region who follows the Huskies, some people went to the college, some people did not go to the University of Washington, but that's a big source of pride, the athletic department. So we, as regular people who don't have millions of dollars and don't have endowments, you know, we don't have buildings named after us. We can speak with our attendance and our viewership ratings and eventually the amount of money that the program brings in. But the University of Washington's been around for over 100 years, and some of the mentality has been there for almost as long.
Yeah, it was seemed like when I was coming up and really following, the conversation was always between like a tug of war between the athletic department and upper campus. And that permeated up until it really felt like over the last few years when we've seen Causse more out in front, visible and talking about athletics and the importance of it to the student experience and the overall health of the university. I have a, it's, I'm at a loss for words a little bit of how such a big decision of hiring somebody like the athletic director gets botched this poorly.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I can go back to, you know, the days of like Mike Lute and then, you know, Barbara Hedges was a disaster. Todd Turner was so much worse. You know, we've had some good ones. You know, we followed up with a couple good ones after that. And I think Troy has it in him to be that really successful AD. Probably, you know, Nebraska is probably going to be a better fit for him. But some of the stuff like people were, I don't know if Softy kind of explained any of this, or if he talked about this, so forgive me if this has already been put out there, but I'm not going to name names of who told me this, but it was very telling to this person that none of his staff followed him from Tulane. It was very telling that, you know, he was having so many issues within the department, you know, talking about staffers crying and being upset, feeling like he was too harsh. And he was really trying to, you know, I think if I had pulled him aside before he ever took the job, I would have been like, you know, you're going to have to fight this sort of perception on campus, right? Like they want you to be big time, but they don't want you to overshadow what's going on.
all over campus. But I think that if I had done that, I would have blamed myself for, you know, anybody. From the sounds of it, it seems like he took a scorched earth sort of approach to this and said, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to mold this in my image. Anybody who's been around the University of Washington their whole lives knows that that's probably not going to work. You got to finesse it a little bit. You can't just say, hey, this is what's going to happen, because there are people who are, you know, second, third, fourth generation Huskies that have a lot of influence and wealth, and they're not going to put up with some new guy coming in. And like, you still have to prove that you can do what you say you can do.
And the reality of the situation is that it's not like he's coming into a broken system either. It's the Washington has been successful in the, I mean, as he took over, his tenure was extremely successful. He saw them go to the national championship. He started the process of reviving the men's basketball program. I say that a little tongue in cheek, because he wasn't really here to do any of that, but it's been successful in the recent past. It's been successful going farther back into history. So it's not, the scorched earth probably wasn't the best route, but I just look, 6 months and your family still hasn't moved out here. That's where I see that this wasn't going to work from the start. And I don't know how we got to a point where he was offered the job and then he accepted it without understanding that his family was going to move with him. Were they waiting for the end of the school year? I'm at a loss for that.
But also, excuse me, I think that with all the friction that apparently was going on, he was probably like, I'm going to see if we can finagle our way out of this.
Yeah.
Put out feelers. Trev Alberts leaves Nebraska. I mean, I remember him as the Nebraska football player. Like, that dude's royalty in Lincoln, Nebraska. He left, which should have been a huge red flag right there. Like, that's bad. But I get it. You know, Texas A&M, whatever.
Yeah, that's unlimited money.
They can buy whoever they want. They just can't win. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're like, ridiculous. I don't understand this. They're like the Daniel Snyder early, like, Washington Redskins. Like, when he got there, he's just, I'm going to throw money at this guy. I'm going to get Deion Sanders. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't go to the playoffs, like, for years and years and years. So maybe there's bigger issues there. I don't really worry about them too much. You know, and the tough part is he did something really good before he left, in that he, you know, created a vacancy with the men's basketball program.
Yep.
And he, you know, from what I was hearing, he was super close to locking down a certain coach at Danny Sprinkle.
Yep.
I consider that to be like a no-brainer, like, announce any day. And now he's gone. And with rumors out there that the university was fighting him on this hire, like, they wanted to kind of open it up a little bit. Gosh, I'm nervous now. And there's like almost a 99% chance that they're going to have to hire the next basketball coach before the next AD.
So speaking of that, my assumption is Aaron O'Connell will go back and be that interim AD. And, you know, was she the one that hired Tina Langley?
You know what? That's a really good question.
Because it was delegated off of Cohen to make the hire. Cohen hired Wynn, which was a disaster, and it was not Cohen who hired.
Then that probably tracks.
So, you know, and O'Connell's somebody who's been there for a long time. I guess I'm going to switch gears to, like, possible some people who have been floated out by media members. Do you have anything else before we close the book on the page history of the Dannon era?
The Dannon era could probably be summarized on a large cocktail napkin. whatever. I mean, I was excited for the guy. It didn't work out. The good news is he wasn't entrenched for like a year and a half, 2 years before a change had to be made. We cannot have so much turnover. Like, we always used to joke that Oregon was the stepping stone U, and now they're giving it to us right now because we just lost a head coach. We just lost two ADs in 6 months. Basketball coach, yeah, you know, we fired him, thank goodness. But I just think that whatever we're doing with these search firms,
it's time to kind of go grassroots on this, like get people in the community that we respect, to who have connections to other people who can vouch for people, not just, you know, people that show up on a headhunter's list because their agents are really good at what they do.
Right. It's a great point. Mike Varell mentions Nevada AD Stephanie Rempe, WSU's Pat Chung, Oregon State Scott Barnes, Virginia Deputy AD Ed Scott. I don't know who that is at all. Tennessee Senior Deputy Alan Green. And then we got three possibles in-house, which would be Aaron O'Connell, the WAD Shannon Kelly, and then WAD Andy Fee, who was the AD at Long Beach State before he came to Washington. Another one that Softy mentioned was the AD at TCU as well, who went to SPU. So there's some people with connections. You know, I really liked the Dannon hire from the outset, just looking at his resume as somebody who revitalized, you know, made Tulane an athletic department that had money and was able to go out and be competitive, beat USC, was competitive in more than just football as well.
Right.
So like, you want the resume. You look at, you know, somebody like the TCU guy, Long Beach State's was, when Fee was there, they were a perennial NCAA tournament team. He's really active. I personally like him, but I don't know. It's not, I don't feel like Washington has to search for their soul with this athletic director. I think what they need to do is they need to look forward on what kind of person is going to be an athletics director at a college in modern collegiate sports.
Yeah. So the TCU guy, was that Donati?
Yes.
Yeah. So interesting thing about him, because he, I think his name came up the last time we were looking,
yep,
6 months ago. And I believe he was super interested in the USC job, if my memory serves me. And when that job went to Jen Cohen, I think he kind of laid low. I don't know if he'd be interested in the job. TCU, I know they have a lot of money. I know that being a private school, they can kind of... So, and we should probably go back to environment that is a public, major public university versus a private school. And I think that's another thing that maybe appealed to him was USC is a private school. There are certain hoops that you don't have to jump through when you're not dealing with state legislature, the, you know, just this, all the things that you would fall victim to if you were a public entity. And I think that you can circumnavigate these hurdles a lot easier at a private institution. So maybe he is comfortable in that environment and doesn't want to leave it for something that's not his perfect fit. I don't know the guy, but I know that he's been pretty successful. He just had his, you know, they just had their school in the national championship game the year before. So
yep.
It's not like they, you know, it's not like they're some downtrodden athletic program.
I wish that I could just wave a magic wand and find the guy, the person that has an impressive resume that has Washington ties. That's a slam dunk. And I just don't know if that's out there yet, especially, you know, like Pat Chung was one that Softy immediately talked about. He's at WSU. Man, I don't know about that.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah. Or Scott Barnes from at Oregon State. And it's not their fault, the predicament they're in, but I don't know.
Just feel like that's low hanging fruit. Like they may be solid and they may be good at what they do, but they're probably on that list because of their situation. Like it would be easy to pluck guys who are
right
kind of on that ship, you know, not want to say sinking ship because they're not dead. They're just, you know, they're like, it's minor relegation at this mm-hmm. point until proven otherwise. So yeah, I don't get it. I know Brock Heward was pretty chatty today about some guys he thought who should be on the list, and one of them happened to be Damon, his brother,
who was pretty instrumental, vocal about getting Jed Fish here.
He was, absolutely. So yeah. so is somebody else on this podcast.
Are you putting your hat in the ring for AD?
No, I just wanted to make it clear that I was like one of the first people to like be all over Jetfish when we realized that we didn't have a coach anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you convinced me because it was Jetfish or bust. And, you know, that's the good thing is regardless of where we're at, who hired him, where the interest came from, we have stability, at least for now on the football side. And honestly, you can't look more than 1 or 2 years into the future right now in college athletics to see anything. So having somebody with the pedigree that Fish has, with the recruits that they've brought in, with the coaching staff that he has that's serious about football, we at least right now have some stability at the most important position in the athletic department.
Yeah, I feel good about that. I'm not really one of those people that's going to go sky's falling if he's only there for a few years.
I agree.
Because that's just the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
College football is no longer, you know, Don James at Washington for 20-something, almost 30 years. It's very rare. You know, we're not going to get a whole lot of Frank Beamers anymore.
Right.
You know, right. it's just not the... It's not the same, you know, landscape anymore. And a lot of these guys, as soon as they get a little bit of momentum, they're going to think about jumping to the league because, my God, the calendar's so much better. The money's better in most situations. You just have to coach football. You don't have to babysit. You don't have to do NIL. You don't have to recruit 11 months out of the year and 12 if you're cheating.
Well, and the other part of that too, Coach, is the fact that until they fix just the schedule in general with when the transfer portal is versus the end of the season and making it more of a manageable schedule for the coaches, you're going to continue to see guys leave. Even, I mean, there's been a lot of shocking ones, but, you know, we haven't even talked since Chip Kelly left. Like,
yeah,
a Big Ten head coach took a Big Ten coordinator job so he didn't have to do the job of the head coach.
Man, I've been saying this for years now. Everything special about Chip Kelly went away when people started to figure out his Oregon offense.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't take it to the NFL, didn't work. You know, the tempo stuff. It's great if you're superbly talented, more talented than the other team. But you saw defenses completely change. You know, you don't see a 4-3 defense anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll never see a 4-4 stack. It's all 4-2-5, two-man front, four linebackers, hybrid linebackers and safeties. And it's all because of all that spread movement. And then what Chip was doing was just above and beyond what everybody else was doing with spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone. He's going to be an offensive coordinator. I'm sure he's going to do fine. They're going to have plenty of talent. But it's not like he was some quarterback guru who developed a bunch of guys. Like, it took DTR until his last season to do anything of note.
Yeah.
I'm just not worried about him. But I'm happy for him that he's out of that horrible predicament being a Big Ten football head coach in Westwood.
Yeah.
What a night.
Yeah. You hate recruiting in one of the easiest places to recruit. So
I guarantee he's not going to be in that recruiting lounge hanging out with players in Ohio State.
Yeah. So that kind of puts a wrap on what we're talking about right now. The sky isn't falling at Washington. They need to get this next hire right. It needs to be somebody who understands the university, understands the area, and they're going to have an extra $1.5 million to throw around as Nebraska is going to pay that buyout to get Dannon to the Midwest. So Washington needs to make this hire right. I think it's a really good time to set their precedence on what they need going into the future in the Big Ten.
And we need a new basketball coach.
Please.
And a lot of people
for the last few years, I would agree with you.
Yeah, a lot of people are debating back and forth on who it should be. Should it be somebody who's already on the staff, somebody with Washington ties? I just want a competent, no, I want an excellent X's and O's guy who can also build his culture, puts together a staff that can recruit. Seattle is a great basketball city. It always has been. Yep. But we got to go out and find the big somewhere else. 9 times out of 10, as far as recruiting classes go. I love Will Conroy. I love Quincy Pondexter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, and people are like, well, if they're not ready to be head coaches, keep them on staff. Let me just tell you something. If you hired a brand new head coach and you stipulate that you have to keep these guys on your staff, you are never going to feel like you have the player's ear, because those guys do.
Yep.
And it's an awkward situation. You know, as, speaking as somebody who is the last man standing from 5 years ago, where three head coaches, actually one or two guys are coming back this next year. So that's going to be cool. But it's chaotic and it's weird. And you're just trying to figure out where you fit in. Those guys are amazing. And if they don't get a shot at the head job, they're going to be popular somewhere else. I guarantee it. Those guys are not just going to, you know, drift away. Like Quincy is so fully entrenched in all things, you know, from youth basketball all up to what he's doing now in college is amazing. Will has been just a rock for the University of Washington. I just want to remove myself from this whole thing and say, get it right. We just had to suffer the last 5 years. Just get it right. Please get it right. If you don't get it right, I'm going to show up at your house. And that's not a threat, because we don't actually have an athletic director.
Well, yeah. That'll do. I want to see, I guess the other side of that is I want to see Heck Ed to what it was when I was in high school and watching. I don't even care if they're local. I love that they were all local guys in there, you know, making runs in the NCAA tournament, but just the energy of Heck Ed when that program is humming is one of the cooler places in the country. And
it really was.
We haven't seen it since Noah Dickerson was a senior.
Last time I was in that building, Brandon Roy was there. His final year, and I had to get, it was my birthday and the girl I was dating at the time wanted to take me to the game. And I was like, yeah, I totally want to go to see the Huskies. And we had to sit up behind one of the goals, like up kind of high, because it was just packed. It was against UCLA. And that's the last time I went to a game. And obviously, you know, I moved away like that next year. I moved away, went to Florida. Now I live in Arizona, so it's not super convenient to go to games. I've been to games down here. But that place was just all sorts of fired up. We had a little bit of it a couple years ago where it started to, like, the enthusiasm started to ratchet back up. But it's just dead in there. Like, I signed up for my season tickets for football, and I don't know how many emails I got this year saying, hey, you want some free tickets to the basketball game? And I would get them, and I would send them out to friends who were in the area. Like, hey, free ticket if you want them. Like, I guess I'll go. Like, that shouldn't happen.
And it started off so positive. Like, I remember that the year before where they probably could have gotten an at-large bid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The place was insane. And he was buying pizzas for the dog pack. And I was like, man, this guy's going to be here forever. This is the greatest thing. The only thing I'm worried about is when Jim Boeheim retires, if he wants to go back to Syracuse. And
dude, yeah, everybody's worried about that. I'm like, just let him coach more in a couple of years. But I'll tell you, if send a really, really touching Christmas card to Matisse Thybulle every year, because Matisse basically ran that zone for him and got him that huge extension.
Yep.
You should listen. He should talk his kids, if they're having more kids, into naming them all Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
He owes that young man so much. And if Matisse wasn't there during that time, this might have been a really short stay.
I agree. Well, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at some point around spring ball to ramp this back up to a weekly thing. Hopefully we can get through baseball season without any more breaking news. But for Trevor Mueller and Coach V, go Dogs.
Go Dogs. I can't wait till we do this for the next AD and then the one after that 8 months later.